if your partner cheated on you and you are actually seeking reconciliation, one of the cruelest things that you may have heard from other people, whether them, therapists, friends, is that if you want to work on it, you need to stop punishing them. Your desire to separate isn't right. That's what they say, but I want to explain in this video why some type of separation is good and give some examples. Because right now you are already in a form of separation. After that type of betrayal, there's going to be an emotional separation that's already there. You're not creating it. It's just acknowledging what's already happened. You might be living together physically, but you're miles apart emotionally. And there might be a part of you that wants to reconnect, that wants to just go right back to how things were. But you know that that's not safe, at least not yet. Trust needs to be restored. And you might be experiencing some shame over knowing that you need some space, knowing that you need some distance, but a lot of people that are close to you might be pressuring you to either completely leave or to rush into forgiveness. You should not feel guilty for needing space. And the reason why I'm so passionate about this is because I firmly believe that infidelity wrecks a relationship. It ends that current relationship. It is possible to rebuild a new relationship with that person, but the old one is dead. Consider it over. Right now, it's two people deciding whether or not they are going to rebuild something different. And so separation isn't a punishment, and it shouldn't be framed that way by anyone. Separation would be preparation. It would be a way to heal and just have the natural distance that relationships do naturally have in the earlier stages. Because even if you do forgive them right away, forgiveness doesn't mean that you're going back to normal. Forgiveness means that you're open to creating a new path with them. It doesn't mean that you're embracing the old path again. And this rebuilding requires space, not speed. Rushing into relationships in general isn't typically a very good thing. Every now and then, people get lucky and it just lines up perfectly. But especially after something so traumatic and devastating. And that's what you're essentially asking someone to do. If you cheat on someone and then you're expecting things to go right back to normal, it's like you're meeting someone for the first time, being a jerk to them on your first encounter, and then demanding that they marry you the next day. And having separation is about your safety, because without this distance, your nervous system stays in threat mode, making true healing impossible. So from the neurological, the psychological, the PTSD elements of all of this, you need some physical distance, some emotional distance to be able to start resetting your nervous system. But people often feel the opposite. They feel like they need that safety person because they're so used to their partner being that safety. You need to find ways to find that in yourself and other people, at least for a short season. Oftentimes, the mind needs some type of symbolic separation to mark the end of being in trauma response and the beginning of new possibilities. Because you're not just trying to step into something new. There needs to be some space to grieve what's died. Grieve who you thought they were, grieve who you thought you were, grieve what you thought the relationship was, and also grieve the future that you had imagined. So what does this look like practically? Most obviously, this could be living apart separately. So think through each partner if there is somewhere that they could go and live separately for a period of time. This could be separate bedrooms. So even if it's not feasible to completely live apart, at least having a separate bedroom could be helpful. Separate finances. For a lot of people, it is helpful to separate that so there are fewer conversations around the topic. And then you could even think about dividing up portions of the home. Say there's not an extra room. Maybe there's a part of the garage or an office room or a front room or the backyard. Some space where you can go to be separate. There also needs to be emotional separation. So certain forms of affection, both physical, emotional, communication, needs to be off limits until intimacy and trust are rebuilt. Rushing someone, pressuring them back to physical intimacy after cheating on them is not good. For some people, that will be part of the healing experience, but for a lot of people, that is something that they feel like they need to really trust their partner to be able to get there. You need to create boundaries around communication topics, tone, what type of physical intimacy is acceptable, at what stage, etc. And for these types of boundaries, it doesn't mean you're going to stay here for as long as possible. You ideally want to be able to heal and move through this quickly, but having these boundaries up, even if it's just for a week of just saying, do not touch me. Like, I don't want to look at you. I don't want to see you. 1 week of real separation compared to months and months of blurred lines and transgressed boundaries could be completely worth it. One factor, of course, to keep in mind is parenting. So if you have kids, and especially if they're part of the reason why you're wanting to give it one more shot to see if you can make it work, you want to be able to do this in a way that's not too destabilizing for them. So some type of creativity might be needed there, probably more around the realm of separate spaces during the day where you can go and be completely alone, as opposed to living apart separate rooms. Being structured in your rebuilding efforts is probably good. Having scheduled check-ins rather than constant contact, constant communication, texting all the time. Gradual emotional exposure is better than just constant immersion. And you want the times with them to feel good as much as possible. You don't want to constantly be fighting. And so if you are constantly fighting, like, limit that as much as you can to be structured and constructive. And for a lot of people, symbolic rituals are helpful. Some type of a funeral for the old marriage, writing letters of closure, creating visual markers for new beginnings, even new vows, new rings, some type of new routine. For a lot of people, if you're able to, again, this only makes sense in certain contexts, if you can afford it and if it makes sense for your lifestyle, but even moving into a new house or a new apartment can get rid of a lot of just the physical triggers. And so far, we've talked a lot about the benefits for the betrayed partner. You know, separation will give your body time to stop associating your partner with danger. But for the unfaithful partner, this is also incredibly helpful because it teaches humility, patience, accountability. If the unfaithful partner is rushing things, they're making it more about their own comfort and saving face and getting back to their needs instead of allowing the healing journey to happen. They made this mess, go the proper steps to fix it. And there's also often a realization that takes place of the type of relationship dynamic. For example, there might be one person constantly pursuing, one person constantly withdrawing. There might be one person that's constantly creating chaos, one person trying to fix it. And without any separation, those types of relationship dynamics tend to not change. You see them, but space actually allows time for that to kind of fizzle out, so that you're not instantly just jumping back into those old roles. During this time, do be aware of the input that you get from friends and family. Some people are excellent help. Some people are going to be doing minimizing, guilt tripping, rushing, and just trying to tell you what you should be doing for your healing journey. Know how to set boundaries with them as well. And just to call this out directly, everything that I'm saying is assuming that something else is false. Specifically, the idea that just being together heals things. Now, every now and then, a core part of why a couple got to the point where one of them cheated was due to constant separation. I see it most with women that cheat on their husbands because the husband is always gone working or on work trips, staying late. That's like the one example where maybe you do just need to spend a ton of time together in the aftermath. However, for most people, there seems to be just like this myth that if we do a bunch of stuff together, then we're going to be okay. Oftentimes, people need to have some space to develop their own identity, habits, way of getting on in the world successfully, pragmatically, apart from the other person. And as they actually have two good lives going, that's when rebuilding and joining it together is actually exciting again. So think of it, if you're a spiritual person at all, as a death and rebirth. The winter has come. That relationship is dead. You are letting it die. Spring is now here. Resurrection. It's something completely new. And you have to let it die for that something new to come. So forgiveness functions as burial and planting a seed to let something new grow. Forgiveness isn't jumping back into an old life. It is consecrating that old life as something dead and dedicating to something better. And of course, as many spiritual truths and self-development truths are, there is some paradox here. where the only way to reconnect is to first disconnect. You have to give up the attachment, the clinging to this thing that you want in order to be able to have the space to heal to get it. And I do want to clarify, there can be a space for separating even if you do have kids. If you do choose to go that route, communicate with them in just a clear, grounded way. Make it clear that this is something that sometimes happens. Just explain we're taking space to heal so that our home can feel peaceful again. You can probably acknowledge that things have been a bit more tense, because they usually are, and say, hey, we're just going to be taking some time to get our relationship back where it needs to be so we can be good mom and dad again. And do not think that you can fake peace. Kids are very intuitive. They can sense tension. So pretending everything's fine, teach them to distrust their own intuition more than anything else. Be honest with them. Be upfront. And then this goes into a whole separate topic, but this is where you would want to start really looking into best practices for you and your ex when it comes to co-parenting. You can't rebuild on a foundation that still has cracks in it. You're not breaking the relationship by separating. You're letting the old one die so a new one can live. Separation is not the same thing as abandonment, and you can't heal in the same room where you were just bleeding. You often have to go to a new spot. And ultimately, this is about honoring reality. That's how I opened the video. A separation has occurred. A rift is there. Separating physically is just acknowledging the emotional, relational pain and damage that's already been done. And if you skip this, it's more likely to trauma bond and to just keep repeating cycles that aren't healthy.